save the earth.
Three divas.
With style and mirth.
Three divas.
Got your every need.
Three divas.
To keep you healthy and green.
Three divas.
They got green dudes too.
Three divas.
With more green news. You got to believe us. Listen to the Green Divas. Green Divas Radio Show. Yeah.
Okay, we're in the studio today. We have a special guest, Harriet Woo-hoo. Sugarman.
Woo, glad to be here.
Yeah, climate mama.
All right, Harriet.
Yay.
I love her, and it's so exciting to meet her. And we're just, like, flabbergasted that she's only, like, 20 minutes away. And this is the first time we've met. So how cool is that?
Very cool.
Very cool. So we've got a Green Diva guest co-host and G.D. Lynn out there in Chicagoland.
Greetings, Earth people.
I was funny because that's exactly what came across my mind when you said greetings before you said
it. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I psychically sent it to you. We've been having GDESP all week.
Yeah,
perfect.
Good. It's been a little weird. So first thing I want to do is welcome everybody to the Green Divas Radio Show, because I don't know if I even said that in case they didn't know what they were listening to. You know. But I want to thank our sponsors who make all this fun possible. We have buygreen.com, which if you haven't been there yet, you got to go. They have a great rating system, and Doug Farquhar, who runs and founded buygreen.com, is very fussy about the products he chooses. He does a lot of research, and they have a well-researched and understandable rating system. So lots of products for green living and lots of categories. So go there now.
Right on.
Tell them the Green Diva sent you.
And then, you can link there. You can go there through our new link, which
that's
is
true.
The GD Marketplace.
And he does have special pricing for us. If you go through our thing, you'll get cookies. Good cookies. Yummy cookies. Discount cookies. Yeah, do it. Go to our shop page or whatever we call it, GD Marketplace. I don't remember now. Mm-hmm. Someday I'll get it down. Meanwhile, we also have Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rack. Rent-A-Rack in Dover is also known as Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rack. He has several locations in northern New Jersey, maybe even in Bergen County, my friend.
Oh, right. I'm going to look out for that.
And I wonder if he's got any in Chicagoland.
You know, I don't know that he owns any in Chicago, but I know they have them in Chicago for fact.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the Green Divas page, you will surely see one of the banners in the side for click here for Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rack. And you can go and do a search from that page and find a Smarty's, at least a Rent-A-Rack. But we're recommending Smarty Marty's if you're in northern New Jersey, because he also has trucks, and he's really cool, and they're really fun. We've rented a couple cars there when Lynn was here, in fact, and you wouldn't know.
It was a great car.
You wouldn't know, right?
I didn't notice it was a wreck at all.
Okay, one more announcement before we have too much fun, because I keep forgetting to announce this. We have actually moved the time of the live broadcast. Well, it's not really a live broadcast. But the broadcast, the initial broadcast on homegrownradio.nj.org. And if you listen to it from there, you're not going to hear it anymore on Thursday afternoons.
What time is it?
Now it's going to be, drum roll please. So the time is Friday morning, 11 a.m. Just so you know, mark your calendars. Otherwise, you can get the podcast anytime. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, our own site. My gosh, we're all over the place, man. Right?
We are.
So, I'm already exhausted.
We haven't even
started the show, and I'm like, I need a nap now. You know, allergies are just no fun. They're messing with my head.
It is. Climate change, making your allergies worse. We're going to talk about that.
You were talking about that,
good.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said something about poison ivy being more virulent because of
climate change, because of what it does is that with the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, it actually makes the oils in the poison ivy more virulent. And there's a lot of peer-reviewed studies that point to that. And I don't know about you, but both of my children and my husband, you know, anecdotally, we just see it all the time. I mean, in fact, my husband and my son are so allergic that they have to get steroids treatment every year from it. But it is something that scientists are noticing and studying around our country. And that, as climate change gets worse, is something that we need to connect the dots.
It seems a little unfair.
It does.
Like I said, like, why can't we make like roses smell better? Why doesn't climate change do something good for us? You know
what
I mean?
It's true.
But I know that's too much to ask. So that's why we're against, you know, why we're working hard to, you know, stop the or mitigate it somehow. At least we got to learn about it, accept it.
Exactly, and we can turn it into opportunities. There are things, and you know, you got to learn to plant different things in different locations because plant zones are changing, and so those can be positive. Maybe you're going to find some new plants that you never knew before.
You want to hear this? I had volunteer lettuce.
Really?
I don't know how the heck that happened.
I did.
I'm like, it was a harsh winter too, and I went out there and there's a little thing of red leaf lettuce.
How wonderful!
I was like, that's so cool.
That's a plus. I just hope if something happens, I hope it just gets warmer in the Midwest and that we don't have these kind of winters. If something's going to happen, and that would be a plus.
Well, it'll probably be tropical here by the time you get anything warm and comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's true. Scientists tell us actually that, you know, for us here living in the Northeast, that by the time, you know, we would be ready maybe to move south to Florida, we won't have to because we'll feel like we live in Florida.
So. Well, we may have beachfront property here.
That is true,
you know,
true
according
too.
To all these glacier melts we're having.
That is true, Megan.
So you just got to hang in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are going to get interesting.
They will get interesting, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Word. It is interesting.
Things are going to get interesting. So speaking of interesting, we do have a really cool show today. We had the opportunity to speak to Michael Green, who is, I think he is the director, executive director of the Center for Environmental Health?
Yes, he is.
He's a really interesting cat, and we're going to have him on GVK, Good Vibrations with Kristen, soon, too, because he's just an interesting guy.
Excellent.
I mean, you know, you read his bio, and it's like he's been hanging out with the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
I just love that. Like, rub some of that off on me, that energy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because the Dalai Lama's so cool. And you know what? Like, I want to be like that. I want to be kind of peaced out and just giggle at everything. I mean, a guy, every time I see him, he really seems very happy. Mm-hmm. Just light and happy. And I think, yeah, I could do that.
Well, then you just have to
I'm rolling my eyes.
That around this way.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we have another new segment. We are on a roll, man, with these new segments. We've just been introducing the new Traveling Green Divas and... what was the other one? Green Divas at Home.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Now we have the Green Divas Eco Style.
Very cool.
This week we have Bianca Alexander from Conscious Living TV, and she is great. So I don't exactly remember what we're talking about, but, you know, you got to stay tuned and just listen in.
Sounds good.
Because it's like all the trendy Eco Style stuff. John Platt, Green Dude John Platt, who talks about green car innovations, and actually they're like unexpected innovation. How do I put this? They're innovations, technology innovations in cars that have an effect on energy efficiency and all that fun stuff, but they're not expected. Like when we talked, I was like, oh, okay, that was not designed to necessarily save energy, but it really does.
Right.
Interesting.
So that was a really interesting one. And then we had a lot of fun with Lee Garofalo. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's one of our returning and regular Green Divas who does DIY. I love her DIYs. And we had her in the studio.
Fun.
And we actually got video.
Yeah.
But there'll be an audio segment today of her describing how to do a T-shirt bag out of an old kid's T-shirt. I mean, it's ridiculously simple, and then when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm going to go rip off one of my grandson's T-shirts soon.
Yeah, something I think I could definitely do it myself.
Right?
After watching that.
Yeah, exactly.
She made it seem so easy. We'll see.
Yeah. So, anyway, lots of fun stuff today, and then we're going to get to talk to Harriet some more for the My Earth 360 report with Lynn, which is coming up. So, and then Harriet and I, we're going to play and do some other stuff that you'll hear in a couple of weeks, probably. So, I'm just saying, stay tuned.
Sounds good. We're here.
Very exciting.
Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 report and hear it all from WTF. To encouraging news and ways that you can take action for the Earth. This segment is sponsored by TrueGoods.com because shopping should be fun, not frightening. True Goods helps you make simple choices for healthier, safer, cleaner living. Tell truth, shop good at truegoods.com. Okay, so now it's time for My Earth 360. Green Diva's My Earth 360. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Green Diva Meg.
And Harriet.
Hello there.
Hi, Harriet. How
Green
are you?
Diva Harriet, Climate Mama.
Climate Mama.
Yay, I'm so glad to be here with you both.
I know, this is fun.
Yeah, and now we know how close she is, so guess who's going to come to the studio more?
Yes.
Exactly.
Fun.
I'm jealous.
So tell us what WTF this week in environmental news.
Well, climate change denial is alive and well, despite the evidence.
Oh, yes.
And Pat Sajak is being slammed all over the place for his comments.
Okay, I'm doing the wrong show now. I'm doing like the Tonight Show. Yeah, okay, we tried.
Here's what he said. I now believe that global warming alarmists are unpatriotic racists knowingly misleading for their own ends. Good night, Pat Sajak.
Oh, my goodness.
Did he say the good night part? Or did you
say
that?
Yeah, that was in a tweet.
Really?
And, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's a big climate change denier.
Denier.
It's just, you know, it's amazing to me that it continues to go on. Climate change denial, despite all of the evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, and really, Lynn, you know what? It's really in our country, and it's become so politicized, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it is a fact. It is real. It's happening. It shouldn't even be something that's debated or discussed. There is a really funny video clip this week. I'm not sure if you saw it, and they actually brought, like, because it's 97 climate scientists into a room and three on the other side, because that is kind of the statistics,
the ratio.
The ratio. So when you hear one, you know, and one, it sounds like there's some kind of debate. There's no debate. Climate change is real. It's here. It's happening. It's now. And people like Pat Sajak are just doing a disservice to everyone by
it's
trying
really
to pretend.
It's really weird. And if you've been watching at all the Years of Living Dangerously, which obviously we talk about it a lot, and I've been following it, that episode 4 was so fascinating with this young gal who's the preacher's daughter, Anna Jane Joyner, who we got to interview.
Wonderful.
But watching her try to convince her father, her evangelical whatever
And priest. He has a huge following, and so it's really important. I mean, she really can.
And he just was like, you know, nope. No matter what she did, she had him flying over evidence. She flew in like one of the top, that woman whose name I can't remember.
Catherine
Cahill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. flew her all the way in, and like, how could you argue with this? And she's a, you know, a Christian. I mean, that's part of her thing. So anyway, yeah, it's just stunning to watch that kind of denial.
It is, and it really, there's no basis, in fact, and it is just, you can choose, you know, what is that saying that you can, you know, choose, you can have your own opinion, but you don't have a right to have your own facts, and on this, the facts are in, you know, this is it. Climate change is real. We're causing it. We know it. Let's move on. Let's figure out opportunities to, you know, make things better, to protect ourselves, to find opportunities where we're going to, you know, do lots of great things, and people
beachfront
like that.
Property in Morris County, New Jersey, that kind of thing. You know,
exactly.
I'm planning. I'm keeping my house.
I mean, there's such a consensus that we're increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Traps more heat. It acidifies the ocean. It alters weather patterns.
Well, last week was all the news about the Antarctica, the west side there, like completely.
Yeah,
it's inevitable now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Inevitable. It's melting, melting so fast, it's not going to stop.
Well, there's even a report from retired U.S. military leadership. There's the recent National Climate Assessment that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It goes on, and it's 97% of climate scientists that stand behind this fact. And I saw an analogy that was, I think, is perfect. If 97% of doctors told you that mushroom would be poisonous, and 3% said, oh, it's probably fine.
It depends on your
addiction. Would you feed that to your children?
Well, it depends on your addiction to the mushroom, right? What do you want to hear? What do you want to know?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, no, we just, you know, have the precautionary principle, and we should just even if it was 60% or 50%, why are we not, why are we just debating it?
That's my argument. It's like, what's wrong with cleaning up the air and the environment? Excuse me, what is wrong with that?
Right.
And
yeah, what's wrong with having clean air?
Yeah.
Right.
And clean water.
Exactly. And all those things.
Food that's safe.
Yeah.
I love, there was a tweet I just happened to see before this from Jeff Daniels, and he said, today's science denying anti-climate changers make the dinosaurs look like they had a handle on the future. I thought that was so hilarious.
I love that guy.
Me too.
Do you watch that?
I love his show, Newsroom.
Yeah. Yes. And so I was going to say, that's like my number one favorite show. I hope it stays on.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Sorkin's like, he's just brilliant.
I'm glad that they didn't cancel it.
Thank God. So what else? Any other WTFs before we move on to encouraging news?
Yeah, you might want to be careful of the pet treats from China.
Oh.
As of May 1st of this year, the FDA received thousands of complaints of illnesses in pets that ate chicken, duck, or sweet potato jerky tweets. Treats, not tweets. Talking about Twitter, not tweets, treats.
Jerky tweets.
But nearly all of them were imported from China, and there were even three humans that were impacted. Oh. 1,000 dogs died. And I know... And you know, be careful with your kids, because I know when I was a kid, I put everything in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I loved milk bones.
Right. Oh, my sister and I used to like sit and nibble on them. It was like a dare, but then you're like, oh, these are not bad.
I don't know what the heck we're thinking. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I buy Gracie only U.S. made for this reason.
Yeah, I used to also try the gravy train.
Seriously?
Where you add water and those pieces
get
mushy,
that
was not good. The milk bones were good, but I would not recommend the other.
Green Diva confession. Okay, so we only have like a minute left. Let's talk about good news. Anything good?
Yeah, well, I just posted today from EcoWatch the solar freaking roadways video.
I love that.
It's so cool how they have this idea of solar roadways that...
The video... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the video is so much it's so much freaking fun. Mm-hmm. And it makes you just want to scream. And, of course, it looks a little complicated, like it'd be an awful lot to do all our roadways, but I'm thinking we should try.
Yeah, if you can create energy. And you wouldn't even have to plow the snow because the roads would be warm.
Amazing.
Cool. Yeah, and they propose. I mean, I think it's a Kickstarter, and they're looking for money, which you know, I'm tempted to give them. But they're saying we'll just start with parking lots and small areas, and I think
test it out.
And then once people are like, oh man, that works, and it's so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked that.
Yeah, and it was a fun video.
It's a really fun video.
So check that out.
And action.
Action. Well, we have Harriet here, so maybe we can let her tell us the action.
We have like a minute. I'm sorry
real
that
quick
we.
One.
Yeah, because it's important.
All right. Well, one thing that we're helping to promote with Earth 360 and Green Divas is the Global Day of Action on conflict palm oil, and it continues beyond the day too. It's to target the 20 largest snack food companies and make the connection between how they source their palm oil and what we can do in terms of what we buy. So look out for those big companies. PepsiCo was targeted on May 20th, but there's 20 companies in the snack food 20 that make up that group of companies. And we can show them through our purchasing power that we aren't going to allow them to destroy the rainforest, to destroy the last home of the orangutans, and to grow palm oil irresponsibly, which is a huge driver of climate change.
Yeah.
So who knew? You know, we have to make those connections, and that is something we can all get behind and, you know, show our kids. And
relentlessly pester these people until they, you know, make a change, because it works.
It absolutely works.
It really
they
does.
Listen. They are listening.
All right, kids. Listen, we have much more fun, so please stay tuned.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. And remember to tell truth and shop good at truegoods.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Well, aren't we excited? First of all, GD Lynn's in the studio.
Hello.
And this is our first Green Dude segment with Green Diva Lynn with us, and our first Green Dude segment with John Platt, who's a freelance writer, journalist, environmental and science journalist. I'll get it right eventually. And he writes for the likes of Mother Nature Network, one of our favorite places, Scientific American. And I think you have a new piece in Consumer Reports, right?
Well, it's Consumer's Digest.
Thank you. Okay.
Common mistake, I'm told.
Sorry.
But first of all, thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. The new article is about all of these technologies that are in today's cars that are going to lead to the self-driving cars of the future. They're called advanced driver assistance systems, and most of these are geared around safety, but if you use them right, and then maybe if you supplement them with a few other things, they can also lead to driving much more efficiently, which, you know, green driving is a very important topic.
We all
spend so much time on the road, and it's an important thing.
So let me go back. Advanced driver, I'm still trying to keep up. It's early here. I don't know what's wrong with me. Advanced driver what?
Advanced driver assistance systems. And these are things like adaptive cruise control or blind spot detection, collision avoidance, lane keeping, parking assist. They're all technologies that use cameras or lasers or radar to help you out. Most importantly, to avoid accidents.
The Ford Fusion has the adaptive cruise control.
Yeah.
And it scared the crap out of me when I was first driving because I didn't know it was there. You know, it's not like I read the manual. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, that is an important thing. You do need to read the manuals. These are all new technologies. And they're not necessarily immediately intuitive. You're going to need to learn to adapt your own driving style in order to use some of these things. But adaptive cruise control is the great example. Normal cruise control, you put it on, your car stays at a normal speed, you know, one given speed. But adaptive, it pays attention to the traffic around you.
Yeah.
If the cars ahead of you start to slow down, your car will slow down.
It's actually brilliant.
That's very cool.
Yeah, if they start to speed back up again, the car automatically speeds back up. And some of these controls, some of these systems will actually stop the car completely for you.
Yeah.
You have to make sure you understand what it's capable of doing.
Yeah.
But this is really great because cruise control by itself is a very efficient technology. Adaptive cruise control responds to traffic faster than you can as a human, much more efficiently. It's that starting and stopping, the rapid acceleration, the braking, that takes so much of the efficiency out of your driving.
Wow.
And this is a great way to save gas, or if you're in an EV, save electricity. It's fantastic.
Well, see, I hadn't even thought of all that, but I was test driving the Fusion for a couple of weeks, and they let us take it to the Berkshires. We took a little video. It was fun. And there we are on the highway, and I obviously hadn't read the manual. And anyway, so I just thought it was a really cool feature, and it is an EV. You know, it's a plug-in car, the energy, and so anyway, I thought it was a cool, but I never thought about the fact that it could contribute to greater efficiency. I love it.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And this is really great because it's also setting the stage for what's going to come. Vehicles are going to be communicating with each other. They call it vehicle-to-vehicle communication. And that way, instead of just using the cameras, all the cars are going to be connected, and they're going to know enough to maintain safe and efficient speeds, distances from each other. You're going to be able to hear about upcoming traffic, And this is really going to drive a very efficient driving. One of the experts I spoke to even talked about what will basically turn cars into convoys where you're all in a line. It takes advantage of wind speeds, just like trucks do.
Yeah.
But they're all communicating together and all operating as one big system.
I think it's brilliant. Wow. And speaking of trucks, can we just kind of eliminate trucks from our highways? Like, can they get their own lanes?
That would be nice.
I would love for them to have their own lanes where they can just sort of cruise at their thing. And
well, it would be great. the road right outside my house is become a truck central. But, you know, the vast majority of all of our goods are shipped by truck.
We need more trains,
Of course, that's another advantage to shopping and buying locally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially, farmers markets, things like that, try to keep some of that stuff off the road.
Wow. Well, I'm pretty excited about this, and I'm looking forward to seeing your post or your article because I want to learn more. And you will keep us posted as things develop because I think this is going to be very interesting.
I certainly will.
Amazing.
There's all kinds of things that are coming and that are available, whether on the cars or in your smartphones, that can help take this to the next level.
Kind of space age. I like it.
Cars are going to take over the world.
Well, they have in California.
Well, yeah, that's true.
If you're driving on a California highway, you think they already have.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling, and I'm looking forward to talking to you more about some of the other things you're writing about.
Thank you, Meg.
Yeah,
thank you, Lynn. And
thanks, John.
I look forward to the next segment.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Wait, don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life. Or just get creative with easy-peasy Green Diva DIY projects. Yay! In the studio again with Green Diva Lynn and Green Diva Lee.
Hello.
Hello.
Yay.
Hello, hello, hello. So I was just saying before how much I love Lee's DIYs because even I can do them. And really, she said that I'm her barometer.
Yes. This one's a very simple one, and it's a great one. It's making fabric bags to take to the grocery store for fruits and vegetables or even for your groceries. All you need is a tank top. If you have a child size one, it's perfect for fruits and vegetables. And if you have one of your own old ones, you can use it as a grocery bag for your groceries.
Mine are nice and large, so I could like take a lot of stuff.
The kids' ones are great.
Yeah.
Kids grow out of their clothes so fast.
Yeah.
Even when you go to a garage sale or tag sale, you might see them and you can pick them up for pennies probably.
Right, right.
And you can make these bags, and you can keep plastic bags out of the landfill and the ocean and all the other places that plastic bags
are. Sometimes you see them in the trees, which is very sad.
I can't stand that.
Wrapped around an animal.
Yeah. Don't get me going.
Yeah.
So this is really, she showed me when she came in the studio. I love having her here in the studio, by the way. But she showed me, and I was like, oh my gosh, even I could do this. Seriously, it's Meg proof.
And you don't need a sewing machine. If you have a sewing machine, this will be an even faster DIY. But if you don't have a sewing machine and you're not even sure you have a needle or thread, the next time you go to a hotel, get a sewing kit and bring it home and you can do this project. All you need is a needle and a very small amount of thread. You don't even have to like go buy a whole spool of thread at a sewing store.
Perfect.
A lot of pharmacies even sell sewing kits.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. So you thread your needle. And you do a simple stitch.
Well, explain, you have to do you turn the shirt inside out first?
You turn the shirt inside out, and then all you do is basically hem up the bottom of the shirt.
Right.
And you can do it in any number of stitches, but I'm going to show you on the website how to do this, and it'll be very simple. If you've never sewn before, I guarantee you, you'll be able to do this. And once you've sewn up the bottom, you turn it right side in. And you now have a sealed up bag with handles.
Ta-da!
Perfect. Yay.
And now, because she's here, we're going to get to do a video. So it'll be even simpler and easier. And your posts are so great and easy to follow, her tutorials.
Yes.
Really, seriously. Even Green Diva Meg can do it.
If it involves a needle, I don't know if I can.
I bet you can.
I might hurt myself.
I think we're going to have to try this.
I was going to say, I think this is a challenge now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Lee. It's fun to have you here. Everybody, check out Lee's post and stay tuned for more great stuff. To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible. Shopping should be fun, not frightening. That's why True Goods offers a consciously curated selection of non-toxic goods. Find a variety of healthy and natural products for house and home, the kids, and even those furry family members. Also check out the True Goods blog, The Goods, for engaging articles and useful resources. True Goods makes choosing a healthier, safer, cleaner lifestyle easy. Tell truth, shop good at truegoods.com. No one ever said you had to give up style to be a Green Diva. Or dude, check out this Green Diva's Eco-Style segment for all the latest trends in sustainable, ethical, gorgeous eco-style. It is so much fun to finally get to talk to Bianca Alexander. And this, and she, a drum roll please, Paul. This is our first eco fashion. I'm not even sure if we've named it yet.
Oh, boy.
It will be named by the time this airs, so bear with me. The Green Divas Eco Style segment. And so we're really thrilled to have Bianca Alexander, who's the host, creative director of Conscious Living TV, which I've been following for quite a while. And she's also the director of communications for Fashion Revolution. Hi, Bianca.
Hi, how are you?
Excited to talk to you.
Dudes love fashion, too. You know?
And dudes like fashion, too.
Right. That's right.
It's true. It's true. I'm excited to talk to you, too. I've been following your work and think you've been doing great things for a long time. So it's good that we're finally coming together.
Well, you know, come on. It's what Green Diva doesn't want to, you know, check out
look
eco
marvelous,
fashion and ethical fashion and all that fun stuff? I mean, we talk about it, but this is really exciting to have it sort of focused on this segment. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to do what you do with Conscious Living TV and Fashion Revolution.
Yeah, well, I trained as an attorney and ended up working in Hollywood in the entertainment industry and finally segued my way into starting my own production company. And that actually happened at the same time that I began hosting on camera for various cable TV shows. And, you know, after several years of doing that, decided that I wanted to be a part of the solution. Media is not necessarily the ones that are bringing the good news. They're not the ones telling the stories about what can help us be healthier and happier. And so I decided to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And my husband and business partner, Michael, and I launched Conscious Living in 2006, actually after firing my agent and leaving Los Angeles and moving to Sedona, Arizona. Sabbatical for 10 months. And that's where, you know, some of the ideas we first kind of concocted on our honeymoon finally came to life.
Excellent.
So Conscious Living TV was launched at the same time that YouTube was launched. It was a gamble that people would be consuming content, television content online. And we, after 8 years of doing that, eco fashion was one of the most popular types of content that we produce. We cover stories basically on the front line, sustainability from, you know, eco fashion to vegetarian cuisine, you know, spirituality, yoga, meditation, natural health, triple bottom line business, and fashion just happened to be one of our, you know, top rated content. And as a result, eventually, recently this year, segued into the role as the director of communications for Fashion Revolution, you know, really merging my expertise and passion for advocacy and conscious living. And Fashion Revolution is a campaign that was launched after the Rana Plaza collapse that happened last year on April 24th, 2013 in Bangladesh, where 1,133 garment workers, sweatshop workers, were killed when a building collapsed on them that had already been basically condemned for having a crack in the ceiling, and, you know, they were forced to go back to work, and as a result, lost their lives, and 2,500 were injured. And so the campaign posed the question, who made your clothes, to bring more transparency and awareness to the global fashion supply chain. So those are kind of the two hats that I'm wearing right now. And
great.
It's definitely a cool time to be bringing more awareness to consumers. I think they really want to do better and shop better.
Well, I think so, too. And I think you're doing a great job of helping educate us in a fun and stylish way. So tell us what does eco fashion mean? What does it entail, and what if there were just a few points that you could give folks to, like, get started if they knew nothing about what eco fashion or ethical fashion meant?
Yeah, well, there's several different criteria, and I think that it's similar to being green or being conscious. You know, it's definitely something that has not been codified by any one agency that represents, you know, the entire movement. And so I certainly would not want to, you know, sort of step into that role. But I can give people just a few of the things that I think about when I think about ethical fashion or conscious fashion. And really, it's about just asking questions. And understanding, similar to organic food and the slow food movement, you know, where was the food grown, who grew it, with what chemicals, and just being a little bit more aware about, you know, the process of where our clothes come from. And so, you know, the first thing is asking the question, well, what are the materials? And you can look in the label of any of your clothes and find out, okay, what was it made out of?
Right.
Okay, well, the average T-shirt, for example, you know, might say 100% cotton. We'll start with something really basic, a T-shirt. Unfortunately, it takes a third a pound of pesticides to produce a single cotton T-shirt, you know, which harms the earth. It, you know, harms our drinking water, and it eventually harms our bodies. And you think about the skin being the largest and most absorbent organ in our bodies. And, you know, we all wear clothes from the day that we're born to the day that we die, you know, for most people. And, you know, you
cotton.
Think about the toxins that are relaying on your skin that are being absorbed, not to mention the dyes that go into that. So, you know, looking at the textiles, whether it's organic cotton and, you know, natural dyes, ideally, that's one way that you can think about eco-fashion, is just being more aware of that. Not only the materials, because, you know, organic cotton isn't the only eco-material that you can think about. There's tons out there, from bamboo to Tencel, Cupro, which is a fabric that I'm loving these days because it feels just like silk, but it's totally sustainable, easy to sort of grow. It comes from... like the bamboo plant, it's a derivative, and some, you know, that's been a little controversial just given, you know, the processes that have to go into producing that. But the materials are one piece of it, but one thing I think about also is just like vintage clothing. That's eco fashion. Think about the tons and tons of clothes that end up in landfills, you know, fast fashion. You know, the slow food movement was a response to, you know, big agribusiness that's growing our food and huge tomatoes that have no flavor, no soul, that are depleting our soil. Well, the same thing is true about, you know, slow fashion, and really thinking about where do the clothes go after you wear them, and are you buying clothes that are durable? And, you know, I think 50 years ago, our clothes were just made so much better, which is why, you know, I can go into a vintage boutique or even to Goodwill, which is an awesome place to get vintage if you're into treasure hunting, and find pieces that are just made well, you know, again, from a different era that just were made better. And so if you buy better the first time, you don't have to go and each week or each season go buy the same thing over and over and over again and then toss it in a landfill once it falls apart. some of these stores like Forever 21, and, you know, they're just basically manufacturing as quickly as they possibly can.
Like fast clothing. Yeah, exactly.
So it's fast clothing. So if you think about, you know, what would be a slower, more sustainable way where you could sustain that garment and purchase the garment, maybe spending more investing on the front end, you know, which leads me to my third point, which is the fair trade. You know, when I think of ethical fashion, I think of fashion that's manufactured in accordance with fair trade principles. And there are many. I won't go into enumerating all of them now, but really just making sure that the people that are making your clothes, this is the question that Fashion Revolution asks, who made your clothes? Was that person paid a fair living wage? Can that person eat a healthy meal? Will that person have negotiating power at the bargaining table with their employers, which unfortunately the people that died in Rana Plaza did not.
Right.
They were not able to negotiate a better day, which the average employee, unfortunately, mostly young women and young women of color at that, worked from 8 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week with no days off. Well, 3 days a week, they worked until 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And they had no power to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore, because they are very actively, even violently, opposed to allowing employees to form unions there. So, you know, a fair trade garment means that that employee was paid a fair living wage in the production of that. So those are just a few things.
Yeah.
I mean, I also would add to the list, thinking about being ethical to animals. I'm
yes.
vegan.
I don't necessarily
advocate that everyone becomes a vegan, because I know it's a very specific lifestyle choice. And that means wearing garments that are animal friendly as well. So there's a lot of different things to think about. And one of the things I try to do in order to embrace people where they are is just, you know, there's a lot of different points in the continuum. It's important for you to just be more aware and think about what's important to you, and then shop with your spending dollars in that direction.
Well, it all comes back to being conscious, and thus conscious living TV. I love it, but it really is. And I really appreciate your, you know, all of your points, and all of them do deserve a lot more attention. I think you're going to be doing a post on the Green Divas. So,
yes, I will.
And I'm sure there'll be an accompanying video or two. So
I'm happy to throw that in.
I hope so. So please look to the website for more information, and we'll have to talk to Bianca again very soon.
Yeah, keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work you're doing.
Thanks. Want to have sexy Green Diva style too? And learn more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green? Visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Wow, I'm really excited to talk to Michael Green today. He's the executive director of CEH.
Center for Environmental Health.
Thank you for jumping in. I'm trying to read.
I speak acronym.
I'm trying to read. And anyway, Michael is a fascinating man who's done a lot. But what he's doing right now is basically he's an advocate through CEH to help for public health to help.
Have their mission in front of them. Let's have him.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's have Michael chime in and tell us what you're doing.
Well, what we do at the Center for Environmental Health is protect people from toxic chemicals.
Thank you.
So what that means is that when a company is exposing people through their air or in their workplace or their water or their food or their consumer products to chemicals that are going to make those people sick, we make them stop. Or if a company is the leader in not doing that, we praise them to the heavens.
Right. Highlight their good work and make sure people know about it.
So that's great. So you go beyond what a lot of organizations do, just looking at the products themselves, but their practices and
their
operations and supply chain issues. Great.
And also it doesn't make any sense to not collaborate with the folks who are serving as a role model on how to do it right in the private sector. So three of our board members are the top sustainability dog in three very large U.S. corporations, so that we can strategize with them about how to move entire sectors.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I didn't see that in I didn't see that who's on your board, but I'm curious what those three corporations are.
Sure. Kaiser Permanente, which is the largest nonprofit healthcare company in the country.
Yeah.
And Autodesk, which is a leading design company. And Yahoo, which everybody's heard of.
Oh, cool. All right. No, I was just curious. Let's give them a shout out for, doing the good work there and being, you know, setting new standards for leadership in that way. So today, I think we're going to talk a bit about what BPA-free really means.
You ready?
Yeah.
I suppose we should tell people who aren't familiar with BPA
okay.
what BPA is first.
Can you pronounce it right?
I'll let Michael do that.
So bisphenol A is a chemical that is used in plastics to give it certain properties, maybe hardness or clarity or something like that. It's also used in the lining in food cans to separate the metal, which might rust, from the, you know, stewed tomatoes or whatever. The problem is that this chemical was originally invented as a hormone therapy, and your body is confused by it and thinks it's getting hormones introduced, and those hormones your body frequently responds to by saying, oh, we better take an action, because that's what hormones do in the body, is they tell the body when to act and how to act.
Right. So is this considered a hormone disruptor?
Exactly. Yeah. So the jargon is a hormone disruptor, and what that means is that your body might be tricked into taking a certain action or not taking a certain action. So if you think about it, that can result in obesity, or that can result in a 9-year-old girl having early puberty.
Right.
Or it can result in other kind of messages like grow more cells, which can lead to cancer.
Right.
So a hormone disruptor can have, basically you name it, it can have an association with a particular health outcome. So the problem is that when you see a package that says BPA-free, what it's telling you is what's not in the package. Not in the product.
Right.
It's not telling you what's in it, it's telling you what's not in it. And so frequently what we have seen is companies will take out a chemical that gets covered in the media or gets covered by academic studies and is found to be a bad-acting chemical, and so companies who make stuff, whether it's a sippy cup or a baby bottle
right.
or a can of food or whatever, will say, well, we don't want to be associated with that. Let's take it out. But they don't ask the question, what are we going to replace it with
right.
from the sense of the problem that they took it out. They're like, we'll let whoever supplies our stuff figure out what to replace it with.
Well,
we just tell them no BPA.
And not only that, BPA is just one of the many chemical components in much of this plastic. It's consumer, you know, plastic that's touching our food and our products. And, you know, they've only tested BPA because people started screaming about BPA. So, you know, what about all these other chemicals? We don't even know how they interact.
So let me riff off of that.
Uh-huh.
So what's happening is that there is an experiment going on mm-hmm. all of us right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big, planned, but uncontrolled science experiment. The planned part is that companies are making a conscious choice to not know the health impacts of the chemicals they use because
mm-hmm.
they have a disincentive to know. If they know, they might have to make a change. If they don't know, they don't need to make a change. And if someone discovers a problem, they'll can say, oh, we didn't know. We'll just switch.
Right.
So this big science experiment that's happening on all of us results in us having these chemicals in our bodies, in our bloodstreams. So we'll find out over time what are the health impacts. And then some of them will be like, oh, we better stop using those things. And others, we won't know for a while. So it's not like we're deciding, is it safe, and then exposing people to the safe things.
Right.
We're saying, we'll expose people to everything that we have, and there's 84,000 chemicals in commerce.
Right.
84,000.
Yeah.
And then, if any of them are found to be bad, then we'll stop exposing them. Those people who already got cancer as a result, well, sorry.
Sorry. And out of those 84,000, aren't there only like 200-something that are tested and known what the effects are in humans and animals?
Yes, that's exactly right. So we know about lead. We know we want to protect kids from lead. We know we don't want lead in toys. We don't want lead in our water pipes, et cetera. But so that leaves us 83,999 left to know about.
Yeah, right, right.
And so who is going to be doing that? Well, the government is not going to have the resources and frequently the political will to do it.
Right.
Small nonprofits like the Center for Environmental Health have limited resources. We can't do all of that. And in our lab, we can only do small, you know, limited things.
Right.
And so what we're in a situation is that time will tell. And over time, we'll figure out where the problems are and we'll eliminate them. But someone will already suffered a health outcome as a result.
Yeah.
So if you think about BPA, to use that specific example, they took out the BPA and they replaced, but they needed to replace it with something. So they replaced it with some chemical cousin that has the same properties. And those properties are hardness or clarity or whatever,
right.
but they also might be hormone disruption. And they're making a conscious choice not to know.
Oh, dear.
So, now, and it's not necessarily these are bad people. They're working in a system that's backwards.
Yeah, it's the culture that's, you know, there.
The economic system is set up to incentivize people to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very disturbing. So I know that you're also sort of an advocate in terms of political talk about political will, trying to nudge our politicians into taking action. And how is that going?
Well, so at the federal level, there has been a decided disaction around protecting people from toxic chemicals.
Yeah.
Here's an example. Over a dozen years ago, we decided at the Center for Environmental Health we were going to test every children's product for lead, every single children's product sold in the U.S. for lead. It was a ridiculous idea, and then we did it. And for each sector where we found lead in it, like baby powder, if there's a product that shouldn't have lead in it, it's something designed to be put on a baby's butt where the skin is broken.
Right.
Like baby bibs, like candy imported from Mexico,
right.
Like toys, obviously, like all kinds of other things, children's jewelry. Each time we found lead in a sector of products, we then sued or threatened to sue every company that had lead in their products. And sector by sector, we eliminated the lead from all the children's products in the U.S. Then the landscape politically was different. So we could go to D.C. with our friends, and we could get a bill passed, which happened in 2008, that banned the use of lead in children's products. That could have never happened 10 years earlier because we would have had to battle the pharmaceutical companies
right.
who make the baby powder
right.
and the toy manufacturers and the baby bib manufacturers and the jewelry manufacturers.
Right.
But by the time that we had eliminated the vast majority, then the political problem no longer existed. So because of gridlock and corporate contributions and all kinds of other stuff, it's very hard to get something done in government until you've already gotten it done in the private sector.
Yeah, right. I see. Yeah. And there is a groundswell because of the work you're doing and others. Yeah, because they did. They rallied with the BPA thing. I mean, I don't know that the government did anything about it, but because it got to that level where people, I don't know if it's social media and media, you know, people were just demanding, you got to get rid of this stuff.
So my daughter and I regularly have a battle. Happens less now. Last few months it's been happening.
How old is she now?
Because she's five. But when she was three and four, we had the battle every day. And the battle was over, what is she going to drink out of? What is she going to drink her milk
yeah.
out of?
Yeah.
And on my side, I wanted her to drink out of a stainless steel sippy cup, or even if it's not a cup designed for a kid, a sports cup, but something that's not going to spill if she's walking around the house with
it. Right.
And she wanted to drink out of this princess pink plastic
of course.
Cup.
Yeah.
And
made in China.
Right. And so her plastic cup said BPA free, of course, because, you know, I run the Center for Environmental Health and all. but still, I didn't know what they replaced the BPA with. And so I always worried every time when she would win the battle and she would get to drink out of the princess cup.
Yeah.
Every time I would worry about what is she ingesting right now and what are the potential health outcomes 10 years from now as a result. And you shouldn't have to have a PhD or be a professional advocate in this field to be able to have the information to protect your kids.
Right, right. Well, that's why you do what you do, and we're very, I don't know, I'm very grateful personally.
And can I tell people what to do about BPA as far as their...
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Just use natural materials. So if you have a baby, use glass bottles.
Yep.
We use glass bottles for both our kids. We broke one with two kids. That means
three years.
That's 6 years of kids drinking out of baby bottles. One broken one. It was broken in the backyard when it fell on the cement. So they never break.
Yeah.
They're made to not break.
Yeah.
When they're older, stainless steel. You can, when you're eating at home, use the ceramic plates that we grew up eating off of.
Yep.
Or wood, can't go in the dishwasher, but other than that, they're great. Basically, use natural materials, something that actually comes from the earth or grows out of the earth without being combined with all kinds of synthetic chemicals to make it look like it looks like.
Yeah, you know, for me, like, you know, 10 years ago, if you had a coffee cup or I drink tea to go, it was usually made of plastic. And then I couldn't stand it. And then it went to stainless steel. And I still couldn't stand it. So I literally go everywhere with my ceramic mug. And, you know, I fill it up wherever I go, make tea wherever I go.
We talked about BPA in food packaging as well. And although many of us don't necessarily use, you know, processed or canned foods or things.
It's hard not to, though.
It's hard not
to.
And I guess, you know, at least I'm aware of Eden Foods as an example of one that I believe doesn't use it. Are there others that...
There are a couple others, and I can't think of them right now, which is too bad because I love to actually name the good guys.
Please tell me Muir Glen is one that don't know, really. My cabinet's full of, I always keep Muir Glen tomato products because, you know, you never know when you're going to need them.
And here's the interesting thing is that the companies that do it right, if they're owned by a bigger company that, a parent company, they can't actually advertise BPA-free on the cans because the parent company, whether that's General Mills or whoever, will say, well, we don't want you to do that because 95% of our sales is from our other holdings that are still using this stuff, and we don't want you to besmirch the name of our other products.
Interesting.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, how many real food manufacturers, you know, there's so few left. Right,
yeah,
because they've all, is it Celestial, Hain Celestial that owns, like, most of the natural product?
Many of the brands we're very familiar with.
Yeah. They own Muir Glen, I think. I'm going to give them some grief about that.
Eden has been an early adopter.
Yeah. So. I think tomatoes are particularly difficult because the tomatoes are high acid, right?
Right. So they're more likely to leach things out.
So why don't they just put them in glass?
Because it's so they might break and because they're heavier. Yep. But, yes, that's what I buy.
Yeah.
But that's not what they all will do.
I'm sorry. It just seems so, you know, fundamental. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to have you back on. But before we go, I want to just mention that we were really marveling at your background. You've done some work. What did he do with the refugee camp in Tibet?
Yeah, the waste management plan for the
garbage plan for the Tibetan refugee community in northern India, right across the border from
that
Tibet.
That is so cool.
So I was, my friends like to joke that I was the Dalai Lama's garbage man for a year. And,
there are worse jobs.
There are, most definitely. And my boss was the leader of that community, and collaboratively with my environmental background and his knowledge of the community, created a culture-appropriate plan for that community to keep themselves from getting sick because they had a really good waste management plan at the end of the day.
That's terrific.
Well, aside from, you know, working at Mother Teresa's mission, which is actually amazingly impressive, you also won the Dalai Lama's Award, Compassion in Action.
Yes, which my daughter calls my trophy.
Your trophy.
I won that actually for my work in the U.S. protecting children from lead, which was very nice. And I, Sharon Stone presented it to me, and then she gave me a kiss, which my wife witnessed and was decidedly unimpressed with.
That's better than the trophy.
I was wondering if the Dalai Lama, you know, like if you met the...
No, he wasn't there that night.
Aww.
He's
well,
amazing.
But I have had private meetings with him.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm, like, out of that loop. I can't wait. Well, listen.
I will regale you with stories.
Okay. We're going to have you back because this is a lot of fun as well as very informative and important. Thank you for the work you're doing. And I think next time we have you, we're going to talk about flame retardants in our couches.
All kinds of places. So for our listeners, it's the Center for Environmental Health, CEH.org.
Yes.
You can go and read up on all the great work that... is being done by these people advocating for our health and best interests.
Thank you, Michael Green.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.